Hey, all you unidentified awesome people. See what I did there? On this episode of the Warp Reality Podcast, we talk about a new UFO reporting website, a notorious ghost sighting, and an interview with paranormal investigator Nicole Civitone of the Full Moon Paranormal, and of course, Edgegrave Dave reviews the movie X. So let's go!
Do aliens exist and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Season 3, Episode 3 of the Warped Reality Podcast. I am your host, Ghost Joe, of course. I normally work off this thing with a script, but I haven't had a lot of time. You know, I've told you guys about my job and how demanding it is. And it's been a little bit crazy. You know, I don't have time to research. I don't have time to write scripts and to do all this stuff and to edit and everything. So I'm just going to try and do this one on the fly right here. But I hope I give you a good show today. Yeah, so as I'm recording this, it's mid-October. It's almost Halloween. I had a lot of things planned, you know, that I wanted to do for the show leading up to this point. But unfortunately, you know, with like I said, with my limited time and everything, it's been a little rough. So honestly, if there's anybody out there that would love to help me, you know, research and do stuff like that, I would love the help. So yeah. With that being said, I did do a little bit of research on this new UAP reporting website. So the Pentagon's UAP office recently unveiled an official website for the U.S. government personnel to report UAP sightings. It was created by the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, AARO. Back on August 30th, it features a section where the office will be accepting reports from current or U.S. government employees, service members, or contractors with direct knowledge of U.S. government programs or activities related to UAP dating back to 1945. You know, I don't know, guys. I mean, it's like reporting this stuff directly to the government after they've been not very forthcoming with all this information about it. It seems a little counterproductive, you know? You know, that's what they're doing. Okay. So the site outlines the office's mission, which it states is to minimize technical and intelligence surprise by synchronizing scientific intelligence and the operational detection, identification, attribution, and mitigation of unidentified anomalous phenomenon in the vicinity of national security areas. The site offers a three-part definition of UAP, which it states are objects in the air that can't immediately be identified, objects or devices that travel between different domains, such as air, space, or water, and underwater objects that are not immediately identifiable. So I'll put the website address in the show notes if you guys wanted to check it out. Again, I don't really know, though. I don't think it's a great idea to report, you know, this stuff to the government itself. You know, I know obviously they could find out anything they want to find out, but I'd much rather report anything like that to either MUFON, which our beloved John Wright is a part of, or the Stars Academy, and there's a few other non-governmental agencies that also, you know, will take your reports. So yeah, so please check those out. So now let's talk about a supposed ghost sighting of the infamous drug lord Pablo Escobar. Pablo Escobar was killed during a gunfight with Colombia police in 1993. And since then, his huge fortress-like mansion, which had a dozen apartments, two swimming pools, a tennis court, panic room, a special vault, and 34 parking spaces for his various cars and motorcycles. And it's been dormant. So in 2019, the Colombian government decided to demolish it and build a park in remembrance of all of Escobar's many victims. 1,600 people gathered around to witness the demolition. And while some cheered, some cried, some claim to have seen Escobar's ghost running around the mansion shortly before it came down. Footage of the demolition has people thinking that they can see actually two figures, which some may believe that it's Escobar and his bodyguard running through the mansion. Some skeptics think it may be just smudges on a window, which the camera was behind when the footage was being taken. And others think that it may be an actual living person that was in the dwelling at the time of the demolition. So yeah, check that out. I'll leave the stuff in the show notes. So check that out. But now let's check in with the master debater of horror, Mr. Edgegrave Dave, with his review of X. Take it away, buddy.
Horrible review with Edgegrave Dave.
All right, grave diggers, Xgrave Dave is here. And I'm at the edge of my seat because I just bore witness to the film simply called X. And this is an A24 Studios release. Man, they have had some incredible films over the last couple of years. We're going to get it out of the way right now. Here is a grave warning, spoiler alert. And everything is going to be A24 okay. Now, while that might have been a cheap pun, and this was on a lower budget of $1 million, this film actually made $15.1 million. So, excellent. Here we go. X going to give it to you. All right, let's get some of these facts right out of the way. This film was written, directed, and produced by T. West. Also produced by Jacob Jafka, Kevin Turin, Harrison Kreis. This movie stars Mia Goth, who I have to say is a phenomenal actress. I went right on ahead and I watched the sequel Pearl, and there will be a review of this movie as well. She actually played both dual roles, okay, as Maxine, a younger character, and the old psychotic woman named Pearl. This movie also stars Jenna Ortega. And I got to tell you, I did not see anything previous to this film. I did not look at any trailers. I actually looked at the poster and I swear to you, I was scrolling through and I'm like, is that Christina Ricci? And I said that because if you look at kind of the axe-toting axe. That's pretty funny, right? At the axe-toting photo of Mia Goth, it kind of has that Christina Ricci sort of look to it. And then I saw that Jenna Ortega was in this movie, who happens to be Wednesday in the Christina Ricci, cameo in the show Wednesday. And she also played Wednesday. And there's also a scene where Jenna Ortega has underwear called Sunday. Yeah, I know. I'm all over the place in this one, guys. Also starring Brittany Snow, Owen Campbell, Stephen Urie, hope I pronounced his name correctly. He was in the Lord of the Rings films. And this was also produced by Little Lamb and Mad Solar Productions. This is one of those movies that came out in 2022, but it actually took place in the year 1979. Yeah, I'm thinking of that Smashing Pumpkins song right now. I'm also thinking about notes to films like The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, some of the early, erotic type of, films that have come out in that time. We're not going to actually review any of those right now, but they make that kind of film in the movie, or at least they attempt to. This has a lot of notes. This also has something that I call daytime horror. I've heard that term actually within the Texas Chainsaw Massacre realm and in the new game that has actually come out, but this only borrows elements from this. This also has that kind of uncomfortable, unsettling feeling called elevator horror. And my own wife, Mrs. Edgegrave, actually labeled this as somewhat of a mystery. And it really is. I mean, thinking about the time period of the late 70s, this really, you know, aids very well in kind of painting that whole picture of what was going on. Now, this does take place in Texas, and I was absolutely shocked to find out that this movie was actually done in New Zealand. And if you listen to the accents of some of these actors, it is so spot on. I couldn't believe in interviews that I have seen that a lot of them have that sort of, you know, British sort of New Zealand accent. I mean, that just is a token to just how talented many of these actors are. Here we go. Let's dive in. So right away, we get right to the action. The action that has already happened, that is, as the sound of flies give you that uncomfortable feeling that something terrible is about to happen. As that transitions from old millimeter film into a wide angle shot from the type of film that you're used to seeing, where Texas Rangers are stepping over bloody bodies and walking into a house. And all while this is happening, you're scratching your heads, wondering what the hell is going on. And they are too, while the sounds of a TV evangelist on an old black and white TV are talking about the wrath of God and all these sins. And then suddenly one of the officers says, you better see what happened down here. Like, you better come take a look at this. And then everything goes to black. And you see, 24 hours earlier, and that's where the mystery of this film does take place. This is one of those films, guys, where the main plot sort of catches up to what you have just witnessed and all comes together at the end as the current. Now, you have a bunch of young adults that really want to break out into Hollywood with their young entrepreneur type skills. And you know how they want to do that? Why, by making a porn film, of course. You have Maxine that's snorting coke with a paper bill, and she says to herself, I will not accept the life that I do not deserve. Now, pay attention, as this does pay off later on in the film. You have her boyfriend, Wayne, who's sort of the funding and the brains behind everything, with his Texas accent. And you have Bobby Lynn Parker, who's like the queen bee, you know, kind of porn queen here. She's sort of a cross between, I guess, a Dolly Parton and a Marilyn Monroe. You have Big Black Jackson here, who is actually played by Scott Mezcuddy, who's actually the rapper Kid Cudi. I give him a lot of credit. And he kind of has that like kind of like 70s, like Chicka Bam Bam. I just love the afro from back then, you know. And you have RJ, who's, you know, sort of like it's his movie. He's working the camera. And then Jenna Ortega's character, Lorraine Day, is a very conservative. They even call her church mouse. And she's just sort of like helping out working the boomstick and the lighting, although I don't really know why. You know, you just have only these bunch of individuals. And when they see this, man, they're gonna break right in and make porn mainstream. They're gonna tear everybody's faces off with this one, guys. And they go right up to the farm, and then suddenly the old man Howard opens up the door. And Martin, whose movie that this is, he has a shotgun right in his face, and he's about to blow his freaking brains out. Get off my property. And then he's like, wait a second, with that Texas accent. He says, we spoke on Tuesday, remember? And he's like, oh yeah, that's right. It wasn't even loaded anyway. I just waved that in people's faces. And half the time that gets him off of his property. They go into the barn that's across the way on this field filled with weeds. And suddenly you start seeing images of this old woman that's sort of looking on, and that's Pearl. And this is where I give Mia Goth a lot of credit, because she does play Maxine and Pearl, as I've mentioned earlier. And those two characters, you start noticing that there are some similarities, as there is a monologue that Pearl says saying that she was young once too. She starts doing all these really creepy things with kind of looking on. She invites Maxine into the house for lemonade at some point, and then slightly touches her. It's really, really creepy. And then I do want to give everybody, in addition to this grave warning, there is some nudity with this porn film that they are making. And you do get to see that old millimeter type film, which I really give them credit for using. That is a lot of dramatic kind of character development that's kind of slowly building here, especially with the old people. Part of it, you actually start to really feel sorry for them, to be honest. I mean, you can tell that as she's hearing all the moaning sounds and kind of looking at these youthful bodies, that she really misses that. And her old man husband, Howard, really is just afraid to make love and have sex because he just doesn't know if his heart can actually take it. And while you're feeling bad, all of a sudden, you really stop feeling bad when the murders are taking place. And they actually have a swamp and there is an alligator in there. And this alligator is also very helpful in removing a lot of the evidence, to be honest with you. As this is taking place and it's getting more brutal and more brutal, and all these events are happening, you'll be shocked at who survives this crazy, bloody masterpiece. You know, it's just done very, very well. The pace of it, everything that is just taking place here, you know, you just have to wonder, is this something that could have happened for real? Was this based on a true story? And the similarities between Pearl and Maxine are very interesting, as, you know, the character development of Pearl is just really interesting. You know, it's kind of shifts from the focus of what's going on with these young 20s people making this movie. And you really start wondering about what happened previously with these old people. And that's actually where the sequel Pearl does come into place. You know, there's a scene where the old man Howard is walking through the swamp with Jackson, and you see that there's like an older car from like the 60s. And I mean, they have definitely, you know, done this type of stuff before, you know, and you're just kind of wondering to yourself, like, you know, what else has really gone here? Now, the music in this movie, you know, one of the cool things about it is that they have music of Don't Fear the Reaper, which you've heard in Halloween about the Blue Oyster Cult. And there is actually a scene where Jackson and Bobby Lynn do perform on an acoustic guitar the song Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. And that's very moving. And that's kind of where you kind of start feeling bad for the older people. And, you know, there's this really great scene with Jenna Ortega where Lorraine sort of transitioning where she wants a part in this movie. And for a lot of people out there, that is definitely worth the price of admission, especially as a bonus, you know, scene, seeing this character development. Overall, there's so much that I just don't want to give away because I do want everything to be a complete surprise. But when this catches up, you are going to be rooting for the survivor or survivors. I'm not going to tell you. You're just going to have to watch this movie. The A24 Studios has really given a lot of films that make you think with the buildup, the dramatization, and a lot of elements that borrow from the slasher genre to the uncomfortable elevated horror and just, you know, that cinematic feeling that's a great distraction. I can guarantee you anything that you're worried about, I often crawl into my little crypt of horror where it just takes my mind off of everything. And that's where everything is A24 okay. I really, truly want to give this a 5 out of 5 graves. The only thing that I could say about it is, man, I just almost wish that there was more. I truly enjoyed this one, and I hope that you guys do too. So go ahead, stream it, even buy it, check it out. And I did actually hear whenever that this comes out that this movie might be returning to theaters as a special Fandango event. Wish I could have seen this one theatrically. And I will be back reviewing Pearl at some point. And there is also a third film that T. West is going to be making where I don't want to tell you the name of this film because that might give some of it away, but I'm just really excited about that one. And that, I believe, takes place in 1985. Great Scott! Have a good one, guys.
Thank you so much for that awesome, awesome, horrible review, my friend. So, yeah, I actually just today had seen the newest Exorcist movie, Exorcist Believer. And I'm not going to give any spoilers, guys, because it is still brand new in the theaters and everything. I liked it. I thought it was very good. I don't think that it equals up to the same fear level and downright scariness of the original. I don't think anything ever could. Although I do still say that the original takes way too long to get there. I know you have to set up a story, but the way that they set up the story, it took basically an hour just to set it up. Which I guess, you know, it's like a cinematic thing, whatever. But it was a good movie. I thought the acting was really good and some of the cameos in it were awesome as well. So yeah, definitely check that out if it's still in the theaters while you're watching or while you're watching this. No, you're not watching this while you're listening to this podcast. All right, everybody. So enough chin wagging. By the way, I stole that from Steve Knows, an awesome YouTuber that does VR stuff. Enough chin wagging. Let's get to the interview with Full Moon Paranormal's Nicole Civitone, which I am so sorry. It's been like 2 months since I did this interview. And my job sucks. I mean, I'm gonna get paid, but it still kind of sucks. Anyway, here we go. Here's the interview. I hope you guys enjoy it. So actually, guys, before I get into this interview, I did want to say, because I was editing it just a little while ago, and I realized, I noticed as I was editing it, that of course, this could be due to, you know, glitches in this, you know, the software that we use, like Zoom and all that, the communication stuff that we do over the computer. It could be glitches. During the interview, about halfway through, I'd probably say about 9.5 minutes, probably a little before that, maybe 9 minutes, 20 seconds in to the interview, appears to be some EVPs. And it's funny because it was right before I said to her that when I do these interviews, sometimes things come across. And it's just funny because these EVPs happened before I even said that. So definitely look out for that. And also, if you could please do me a favor and listen to the whole interview and let me know if you hear anything else and what you think it might be. Again, like I said, it could be glitches. Let's think realistic here. But it's more fun to think it's something paranormal. So let's do that. All right, check it out. Without further ado, here is my interview with Nicole Civitone of Full Moon Paranormal. Let's go. Nicole, I read that you've been interested in the paranormal since you were a child. Was there like a specific incident or like an experience that you had that like drew you to it, or if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, of course. I don't think there was anything really specific. It's just literally as far back as I can remember. Mm-hmm. This is what I was into.
Okay.
I was always really drawn to reading about ghosts and witches and all that kind of thing. I was getting every book I could get my hands on. My grandmother's house that I basically grew up in was haunted, so it was just kind of accepted that it was all around. We hear coughing and, oh, that's just Charlie. He choked on a chicken bone. Nobody knows who Charlie was. He was just the ghost that lived there.
Right, right. It's funny you say Charlie, too. My aunt had a spirit in her house named Charlie. She lives in Long Island. And it actually, she never believed in it before until she started seeing this ghostly figure standing at the edge of her bed for like every night for a really, really long time until she, you know, finally got a psychic medium in there to tell her that the guy's name was Charlie. He used to live there. Wow. And everything. Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty interesting. I even had some experiences with Charlie too. I guess I'm somewhat of a magnet sometimes. So is it just like ghosts that you're into, or is it like, you know, like the whole UFO, Bigfoot, like all that other paranormal stuff?
I think I'm really into everything. I'm into the unknown and questionable things, anything that you can study and that we don't really know about. So I got into, I was reading about ghosts, and that kind of put me on the path to learning about like witchcraft and Wicca and all that. So I studied that, different types of religions.
Okay.
And that got me down that whole energy and Reiki path. So I know a little bit about a lot of things.
Okay. So
I'm sorry, this camera is crapping out. I got to get a new camera. Personally, what's like the most intense paranormal experience that you've had personally? Like whether it was at your grandma's house or anything like that, like what could you remember that was, you know, really significant?
I don't remember this, so I don't know if I would count this as the most significant thing I remember, but probably the craziest thing that I've been told is that I channeled my great grandmother when I was younger. I was at my grandmother's house, and from what I'm told, I was brushing her hair. And then all of a sudden, I was talking about how I used to do that when she was younger. And I was talking as if I was my great grandmother who had passed on.
Wow.
But of course, I don't remember this at all because sure. I was maybe like 3 or 4 years old. But
wow.
That's a story that I was always told that was kind of crazy because I don't claim to be a psychic or a medium or, you know, anything like that. I like to go by the facts and the science and things that we can document and measure and all that.
Okay. And I know, let's get into your group now. You're an investigator for Full Moon Paranormal. Is that's the name, right?
Yep.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you got started with the group, or did you start the group? How'd you come in contact with the other ladies?
So the group was actually founded by Debbie and Lisa. They're awesome. They were putting on their first public event at the Chance Theater in Poughkeepsie, New York. And I was going to go. I was going to get tickets. But then I saw that they had an ad up for an investigator. So I applied, and it was like an instant connection. And we were like three musketeers after that. And I've been with them ever since that first event. Debbie, unfortunately, moved to North Carolina. So then it was down to me and Lisa. We brought the other Lisa in, and then Susan. And now it's the four of us. We do public events and raise money for historic locations in our area. We do private home investigations as well, but really, we focus on the historical locations, trying to raise money for them, try to get the word out there, get people really finding out about the unique history of our area.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, actually, that was going to be one of my questions as well. If you do private investigations or the historical mm-hmm. stuff, what's your role exactly like in the whole thing? I mean, you pretty much dabble in everything as far as with the group.
I do a little bit of everything. I am a lot of behind the scenes stuff. I do all the financial stuff, social media. I do a lot of the historical research, a lot of the tech stuff. Everybody else on my team, Lisa is a psychic medium by trade. Susan and the other Lisa, they do have psychic abilities. Me, I like to go with the equipment.
Okay.
But it's cool to see. They all get together when we're on our way to a location. And they'll compare notes. They'll be like, okay, well, what do you feel? What do you feel? And they're like, Nicole, what do you feel? And I'm like, nothing. Nothing. I'll see when we get there. Like, I'll confirm with you guys.
Right. Yeah. No, I get that too. I mean, I've actually never actually been on a proper investigation before, but I've been into this stuff for a very, very long time because I've had experience since I was a child. Not a whole bunch of them, not enough for me to say that I have like some kind of ability, but enough to know that, you know, they like my presence sometimes. But so you would say that you do all these investigations, private investigations, mm-hmm. and the historical stuff. Do you look to debunk things? Do you look to as, and also not only that, but when you do find that something may be, you know, spiritual in the house, do you look to cleanse like the house or like rid the house of these things? Or do you just want to give the information to the people like what's going on?
It depends on the situation, really. We've done house cleansings before, but a lot of times people just want to know what they're dealing with. If they're dealing with a haunting or dealing with activity, sometimes we can give people peace of mind by debunking, by saying, okay, you're experiencing this activity, but here is a mundane, everyday reason why this is happening. It's not something paranormal, something scary.
Right.
Your light's flickering, it's electrical, or this is a breeze. Well, you have a draft coming from here. And that might give them more peace of mind than something paranormal. But sometimes it is paranormal, and it makes them feel better just to know, okay, this is that spirit's name. This is who they are. They lived on the land. And they're not harmful. It's not some big scary demon. It's just a person. And we tell them, you know, set boundaries. I had that actually, we just moved into this house in December. And we had some activity and it was scaring my son. And I had to tell him, okay, be firm, set your boundaries. And he hasn't had anything bother him since, thankfully.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we haven't had to go the whole house cleansing route or anything like that. Just setting the boundary was enough.
You know, I say a lot as well, like since I do this podcast, and I interview demonologists and psychics and stuff. A lot of times when I'm doing these interviews, you know, things want to make themselves known that I guess they're listening or that they're here. And it's, you know, my daughters, I have two young daughters. And one of my 10-year-old, I believe, if I do have some kind of ability, my 10-year-old definitely inherited that a little bit from me. Because she's come around, you know, my wife doesn't believe in the stuff and she doesn't want to. So like whenever my 10-year-old says, oh, you know, I think I saw something or, you know, I knocked on the wall and something knocked back at me, you know, we both kind of just brush it off, you know, cause we don't want to scare her. But, mm-hmm. I definitely get that too, as far as the children, you know, I guess because children are so open-minded about it, you know? Are there any investigations that you've had with Full Moon Paranormal that stick out in your mind? Any memorable ones?
We have been to this place a few times, the Patchett House. It's now the Walker River Art School. It's up there on the list of our favorite places to go. It's local. It's not, you know, super well known or super over investigated, but it's one of our favorites. We keep going back. We have really good rapport with the spirits there at this point because we've been back so many times. There's a spirit there who's very comfortable with us at this point, who continually told us last time we went to F off, F you, get the F out.
Wow.
Just a little cranky the last time we went and times before that. You know, we got a couple like get outs or whatever.
Right.
You know, mixed in with the other spirits that were there. But this time he was not holding back. He's like, I know you people. I know you're going to bug me all night. GTFO.
Wow. Well, you know, the one thing I say a lot too is, you know, if you were an a-hole in life, you're an a-hole mm-hmm. too. You know, your personality, since the spiritual energy is the same, your personality is never going to change. It's still the same. you know?
Yep.
So yeah, that's crazy. But have you ever encountered anything that you may have deemed to be evil or demonic or anything like that?
I don't think anything demonic or super negative. I mean, like you said, just if you're a jerk in life, you're going to be a jerk in death. And
right.
I don't really give it that much power. We do, you know, everybody has their own way of protecting themselves on investigations. Some people do, you know, the sage and the crystals and the rosaries. I just think of it like, you know what, they're bullies. And if you give a bully attention and you give a bully power over you, they're going to pick on you. If you don't give a bully the time of day, they're going to leave you alone because they're not getting that satisfaction of getting a rise out of you.
Oh, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. So what does Full Moon have coming up in the near future?
So in, actually this Friday, we have an investigation at Crystals of Quartz in Vernon, New Jersey. So that should be fun. It's a crystal shop, a metaphysical shop. We've been there before and we got some pretty decent stuff. So they asked us to come back and do it again. And it's right after their psychic fair. So we're hoping that that kind of stirs up some energy.
Right.
And gets everything kind of amped up for the night. We also have a booze and barbecue. It's a Sunday afternoon investigation at a local tavern, but it was built in the early 1900s and it has activity, kind of a goodbye summer, hello spooky season thing. And we're really excited. We're having a Friday the 13th investigation at the Old Goshen Music Hall, and our guest for that one is Alexandra Holzer of the Holzer Files.
Nice. Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, very, so those are, we're also doing September 22nd, the Cooper Grist Mill in New Jersey, and we're doing that with New Jersey Paranormal Project, Rich Michella, and Kim, the Ghost History Medium, and Rania Cavetti and Lourdes Gonzalez.
Very cool. Very cool.
You can find information about all of that on our website and on our Facebook page.
And that brings me to my last question, actually. if somebody needed to contact you guys, how could they do so?
Yeah, we're Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, our website. Just shoot us a message if any questions about the paranormal or a haunting, or if you have a place that you'd like us to check out for an event, any suggestions, or if you have activity at your home or business personally, we'll go anywhere. Honestly, like, we just like investigating, and a lot of people don't like to go out if there's not a significant amount of activity or if somewhere's not really well known for hauntings. But we love getting into the places that have never been investigated before, or maybe aren't super well known. Those spirits just want to talk.
Right. And what's your reach? Like, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, like, how far would you guys travel to, you know, to go to a place? Or
we've done events in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, basically tri-state area.
Okay. All right. And also, like, what would be the turnaround? Like, if somebody were to email you and say, like, listen, I'm having some problems, can you come down and check it out? Like, like, would you guys be able to set something up in a week, in a month? Like, how do you guys work usually with that?
It would depend. Right. Yeah, on like how far and like what everybody's schedule is looking like, because we
right.
have, you know, our events and we are all working full time. We're all wives and moms, but we try to get to everybody as quickly as we can, especially if somebody's feeling unsafe or uncomfortable in their home.
Okay.
That's something we definitely prioritize.
So thank you so much again for doing the interview. I really appreciate it. And
sorry
about my stupid webcam problem. So I got to get that fixed. It's been a while since I did an interview. But, you know, like I know we were talking about this months ago to do this interview. And I had this thing happen due to the stress of my job and stuff. Like I lost my eyesight, like almost, it was crazy for like 3 weeks. So then I figured like I needed a break from everything, you know, to kind of like revamp and to get back into it kind of, you know? So
yeah, definitely. Gotta relax and just do a reset.
Yeah. But again, thank you so much. And I'll let you know when it's, you know, when I'm going to post it.
Thank you. All right. Looking forward to seeing it.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much for checking out the interview. That is the end of this episode. I'm sorry. I might not have gotten to a few things that I had said I was going to do earlier in the show. I apologize. Thank you very much to Nicole Shivatoni of Full Moon Paranormal. Please check them out. Links will be in the show notes. And the next episode will be a John Wright exclusive episode because he likes to make his segments super duper long, but they are also very, very interesting and I refuse to cut them. So it's going to be an awesome John Wright episode. Please stay tuned for that. I think it's going to be a bonus episode, actually. That's going to be my bonus episode coming soon, probably next week. So check it out. And thanks again. And I will talk to you guys next time. Later.
Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Podcast. And thank you to all my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warprealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or warprealitypodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.